Really good to be with you all again. Always enjoy the fellowship and the time of worship we have together here. Children, see what I have in my hand here? Can anybody tell me what this is?
Seeds.
It's seeds, that's right. Seeds for what? Yeah, it's sunflower seeds. Now, these little seeds, when they first come out of the sunflower, they have a little black case around them. And if you're going to get a sunflower out of this little seed, you have to drop it into the ground, bury it in the ground, and the seed has to die. And if the seed dies, then what's going to come up from the ground? Ashton?
A sunflower.
A sunflower, exactly. And in that big round head of the sunflower, in the middle of the flower, what will there be?
More seeds.
About how many?
Probably about a couple thousand.
Couple thousand? Yeah, a ton of seeds. That's right. Now, Jesus said in the passage that Elder Mark just read, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat. Now, he was talking about wheat. We were just talking about sunflowers, but it's the same idea. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, Jesus wasn't just talking about seeds and plants. He was talking about something that was going to happen to him. Did you know that Jesus was like a seed? Most of the people around him didn't understand that Jesus was like a seed. And Jesus was going to be going to have to be planted into the earth and die. But if he died, what would happen? He would come back, and not only that, but many people would be saved, and they would be like the many seeds in the sunflower, right? But Jesus also was teaching something else. That if you and that you and I are like seeds, and if we hold on to our lives, and if we make a little black case around ourselves, like the sunflower seed, and say, well, I want to have my money, and I want everybody to think nicely of me, and I want to be super comfortable, and I want to hold on to everything I have in this life super tight, so then I will be protected, and then I will be happy. We can keep that black case around ourselves, but Jesus says, look up at me, you will see something much more wonderful. And when you see something much more wonderful, then you don't care if you die too. You can let go of all those things and just hold on to Jesus. You die to all those things and he will give you life that lasts forever. So Jesus says that he is like a seed, but he also says that you're like a seed. And that's what we're going to be talking about this afternoon. In this passage, verse 24, which talks about the seed falling into the earth and dying, is something of a heart of the passage. And right after that, Jesus explains how you and I are like seeds. And all around it, in verses 20 to 35, he's explaining how he is the seed who fell into the earth and died. And what happens to us has everything to do with how we respond to him. So let's first consider how Jesus is like this seed that falls into the earth and dies. In this passage, some people were coming to Jesus from, they were from Greece. They were from far away. They came to his disciples. They said that they wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus said that many more people from Greece were going to come and not just see him, but believe in him, because something was going to happen to him. He was going to fall into the earth and die by being lifted up. Now, when was he lifted up? That happened where? On the cross, right? And as we think about Jesus being like a seed that fell into the ground and died, I want us to first realize that when Jesus died, that shows you and I who God is. When Jesus died, that shows us who God is. Look at verse 23. Jesus said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Now, this is a very interesting statement that Jesus made. He says, "The hour has come." He's saying the time is coming for something big to happen. The Son of Man is going to be glorified. Now, who is the Son of Man? Well, Jesus is talking about himself. See, to us, we think about this man, Jesus, being the Son of God. And that's amazing because we've never, ever met a man who was the Son of God. But what was amazing to Jesus, because Jesus had been with his Father from all eternity, all of a sudden, he was born on Christmas and he becomes the Son of Man. He'd always been God, but now all of a sudden he's man. Why was it so important for him to become a man? So that this hour could come. The reason that he was born and put in the manger was so that one day, this hour, this time would come, the time for him to die, like a seed planted into the earth. But Jesus doesn't say die in verse 23. He says the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now that's interesting, because when Jesus is nailed to the cross, does it look like Jesus is being glorified? When Jesus says that he will be glorified, we might think about him sitting on his throne in heaven. That's being glorified. Or him rising up from the dead. That's being glorified. But Jesus is saying that when he's lifted up on that cross, when he falls into the earth and dies, that is the time that he is glorified. Well, why is that? How is it that on the cross, in his death, Jesus is glorified? Well, I would suggest to you that Jesus is glorified in his death because that is where he shows us who he is. Think about a rose. When a rose is in its bud, everything that is the rose is packed up in that little bud. But when the rose blooms, you see all the beauty of the rose. And you say, wow, that's beautiful. All of it was there before, but now you see how wonderful it is. Or maybe when you look up at the sky at night, maybe you see a few stars here and there, but sometimes there's clouds and sometimes you're in the city and the lights get in the way of seeing the stars. But if you go out way into the country and it's a super clear night and there's no moon, you look up. Wow. Look at all those stars. That is glorious. Well, in the death of Jesus, you see the rose blooming. And on the cross of Jesus, you see all the clouds peeled away and you see God there. The Bible says that God is love. And the Bible says that there is no greater love than for someone to lay down his life for his friends. Now on the cross, Jesus didn't just lay down his life for his friends, but he laid down his life for his enemies. On the cross, Jesus says to you, "I love you so much that I want to take your place. In fact, I love you so much that I already did take your place because you deserved to be condemned by God. But I love you so much that I would rather take your place and be condemned by God." Jesus says, "I've been in heaven forever and I deserve to be in heaven forever, but I would rather go to hell so that you could be in heaven than just stay in heaven and never have to go to the cross. I would rather go to hell and have you be with me." And that's where you see the heart of God. That's how Jesus is glorified, because the blood of Jesus tells you, this is who I am. I am love and I love you this much. So the death of Jesus is glorious because it shows us who God is. And the death of Jesus also shows us the mission of Jesus. Jesus came to die. Now, he came to be born, and he came to grow up, and he came to work as a carpenter, and he came so that he could be tempted but never sin, and he came to preach, and he came to heal. But when he talked about why he came, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is why Jesus came. He came to die. And in this passage right here, Jesus explains, this is why he came from heaven into the world. This was his mission. His mission was to die. It wasn't an accident. Jesus didn't come and he was expecting to live into old age, and then all of a sudden something interrupted his plans. That's what everybody else thought, right? You know, the Jesus's brothers, they said, Jesus, we know that you want to be popular. So people that want to be popular, they go to where there's a lot of people. So we know there's going to be a ton of people at this feast. So Jesus, go on up to the feast so you can be popular. Because that's why you're here, right? They didn't get it. The people right before this passage, when these people, these Greeks came to worship at the feast, the people welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem with palm branches saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were expecting Jesus to come and set up a great kingdom like David or Solomon, or maybe even bigger. They expected him to be a political ruler. And even Jesus' disciples were thinking the same thing. Jesus' disciples were thinking, boy, I want to sit at Jesus' right hand or left hand when he comes and he restores the kingdom to Israel. Even after Jesus died, they were still thinking this. And Jesus had to reprogram them. They weren't expecting Jesus to die. Neither Jesus' enemies nor his friends were expecting that this was his plan. But this was his plan all along. There were other times when he walked away from his enemies and he escaped from them, but this time he walked right into their trap. He did it on purpose, because when he walked into their trap, they were walking into his trap, and he was winning his victory. So where do we see that this is Jesus's mission? We see it in this, when Jesus says, the hour has come. Verse 23, he says, the hour has come. And then in verse 27, he says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. So he's saying, there's something happening in this hour. He's not talking about the literal hour, 60 minutes, but he's saying, at this time, this, I'm going to show everybody now that this is why I've come into the world. And he says that his soul is troubled. Now, was Jesus troubled because of death? Because he was thinking about dying? Jesus was not troubled about death. Jesus was the Lord over death. He is the resurrection. Death has no power over him. Jesus wasn't troubled about death. Jesus was troubled about hell. He was troubled about separation from his Father, because the worst thing about the cross was not the lacerations on his back. It wasn't the holes in his hand, and it wasn't the crown of thorns on his head. The worst thing about the cross was that the Father turned his back on Jesus, and he caused all of his anger against our sin to come down on Jesus. So the sky went black and Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's why Jesus was troubled, and that's why he was praying in the garden, and sweat was rolling down his face like blood. This is why Jesus was troubled, because on the cross, he would be condemned. On the cross, as the creed says, he descended into hell. And this was his mission. This was why he came. So on the cross, we see Jesus's character. We see who God is. On the cross, we see what Jesus came to do, his mission. And at the cross, we see that life comes from death. And multiplication of life upon life upon life comes from death. I was talking to a friend of mine about this passage, and he said that there was a passage in Isaiah chapter 2, a prophecy where God told his people that the time will come when a bunch of people from other nations will grab the sleeve of a Jewish person and they'll say, let us come with you because we've heard that God is with you. And so my friend suggested that Philip and Andrew may have been thinking, this is the time. People are grabbing us. They want to go see Jesus. Now Jesus is going to come and he's going to be like David and conquer our enemies. But that's not what was happening. Jesus explains later what was happening. He says, "And I," in verse 32, "and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." See, it's when Jesus was lifted up on the cross that the nations would come to him. Now, how would this happen? Well, the Bible says that before the coming of Jesus, all the nations were under the control of the God of this world. They were all held captive by the deceptions of Satan. And Jesus had to come and judge the world in verse 31 and cast out the ruler of this world. You know, Jesus went around casting out demons. He had to cast the devil out of the world. Now, how did he do that? Jesus came to judge the world. At the cross of Jesus, we see the judgment of the world. Now, how does the world work? This is what makes the world go round. People look in the world for fulfillment in all kinds of comforts and pleasures and entertainment. They look for security in possessions and money, and they look for identity in having a reputation, having a job, having people think well of them. You look around, and that is what makes our world go round. And Jesus comes and he dies and he says, "This is how much I love you. And when I show you this, the only way you can respond is to love me back." Now, when people hold on to the world and they say, "No, I'd rather have money. I'd rather have the pleasures of my sin. I'd rather have my entertainment. I'd rather hold on to these. I don't really have time for Jesus." The judgment has come, because when Jesus shows who he is and how much he loves, people judge themselves when they hold on to something else. And those are all the things, security, money, pleasure, that the devil uses to drag people down to death and hell. But Jesus comes and he intervenes and he says, "I have died. I've already taken their death. I know they've chased all those other things other than me, but I've come to stand in the gap. I offer my life for them. And anybody who comes to me," Jesus says, "for them, Satan is cast out. Satan has no power over them, because I stand between them and Satan. My blood stands between them and Satan. And Satan sees the blood and he can come no further. And he has no power over them." But how does Jesus draw these people to himself? Jesus breaks the power of the devil, but then how does he get the people to come to him? Well, we see the secret in the life of Peter. Peter was a guy who wanted to keep that hard shell around himself in some ways. He believed in Jesus, he really did, but he still wanted, he wanted to think of himself as the greatest of all the other disciples. And when he was in the garden and Jesus was going to be crucified, he was hanging on to his life. That's why he kept denying Jesus, because he did not want to die. At that moment, he fell into the temptation of loving his life more than Jesus, and it broke his heart. But when Jesus was raised, and Jesus came to Peter, and he said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Peter realized he didn't love Jesus any more than anybody else, but he did love him. And Jesus told him that Peter was going to have the great honor of dying for him. And I believe that at that moment, Peter's heart must have leapt for joy, because he, at some level, he wanted to do that. He wanted to die for Jesus. He knew that Jesus was worth it, but he fell into temptation. But now Jesus said, "You're going to have the privilege and honor of dying for me." And eventually Peter did. And so you look in the book of Acts and you scratch your head and you think, you know, I was just reading about Peter in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he's tripping all over himself. He's falling down on the waves. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," because Peter is giving Jesus free advice about how not to go to the cross. And he's saying that he's the greatest. And now all of a sudden, he's getting up and he's talking to the people who just killed Jesus. And he's not scared in a corner. He doesn't care what happens to him, because Jesus died for him. The greatest blessing would be to die for Jesus. So if they do that next, praise the Lord. Jesus said I was going to die for him. That's what I want to do. Come on. And then you see him, you know, they beat him up. They flog him. He doesn't care. Because he wants to die for Jesus anyway. He says, thank you, Lord, for letting me be persecuted for you. And then they put him in prison. They're going to kill him the next day. What's he doing? He's sleeping like a baby. All right, I get to die for Jesus. Then the angel sets him free and he has to keep on living for a while. But you're like, what in the world happened to this guy? He knew that Jesus died for him. And he realized the greatest thing in the world would be to die for Jesus. And then Peter meets a guy named Stephen. And he lays his hands on Stephen to be one of the new leaders of the church to help the ladies who didn't have husbands to get enough food. And Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he didn't care what happened to him because he knew that Jesus died for him. So he was telling people about Jesus and he didn't care what they thought. And so eventually, you know what happened to Stephen? They put him on trial. Stephen didn't care. He preached to the people. He preached to the judges at his trial about Jesus. And they covered their ears because they couldn't stand it. And they rushed out and they took stones and they stoned him. But while he was being stoned, remember what happened? He said, Lord, please judge these people? No. He said, Lord Jesus, do not hold this sin against them. You remember one of the guys who was there? His name was Saul. Later he was called Paul. And Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus because he was listening to Stephen. And Paul realized that Jesus died for him, even though he had killed Jesus's followers. And Paul thought to himself, Jesus died for me? I want to die for him. And so all of a sudden, Paul starts looking like Jesus. You see him going all over the place. He doesn't care if they throw rocks at him. He doesn't care if they beat him with rods. He doesn't care if he gets in a shipwreck. Who cares? Jesus died for me, and I want to die for him. Just so that people can learn about him. And finally, Paul gets to Asia. And he's thinking about going into Asia. And he has a dream. And he ends up going over down into Greece, where these people were from. And there were people in Corinth. And there were people in Thessalonica. And there were people in Colossae that heard Paul's preaching. And they believed. Because Jesus fell into the earth and died. Peter fell into the earth and died. Stephen fell into the earth and died. Paul fell into the earth and died. And the Greeks heard about Jesus and they were drawn to him. And on the story goes. Now, we've seen then that Jesus is like that seed that falls into the earth and dies and it bears much fruit. But you're also like that seed. And the question for you is, what's going to happen to you? Are you going to stay in your shell or are you going to fall into the earth and die? That's the question. Jesus says in verse 25, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So this is the question. Do you love your life? Are you trying to hold on to it? Are you trying to hold on to all of the fun things in this world and think these are the most important things? Jesus, I can kind of put him in a corner, but these fun things, these are the things that I want. These are the things that make me happy. Are you trying to hold on to money and think this is what makes me feel safe and secure? Jesus, you know, he's nice. I can kind of put him in the corner, but this really makes me feel secure. Do you think about your job or how people think of you and think, you know, this is who I am. I really want people to think well of me. Or do you think, you know what, I don't care what people think of me as long as I have Jesus. Well, when you see Jesus lifted up on that cross, and you remember what he's saying to you on that cross, when you remember that each drop of blood is saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. This is how much I love you. I'd rather go to hell on the cross and have you with me than stay in heaven without you. This is how much I love you. When you see who Jesus is, how do you react? Do you think, I've never seen anything this beautiful in my life? Do you think there's nothing that I could possibly want that is better than Jesus? Is that what you think? Or do you try to hold on to the other things that you love? There was a man who went and sang with Billy Graham. And he wrote a song about letting go of this life. I'm not saying deliberately doing things to harm yourself, but I'm saying stop holding on to this life so hard. Let go and just hold on to Jesus. or let him hold on to you. And he says in this song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. Yes, I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Have you seen Jesus for who he is? Do you think to yourself, you know what? If I died 7 times, it would be worth it just to get to Jesus. Do you think, you know what? If I got to heaven and Jesus wasn't there, it wouldn't be worth it. Because just look at him. See how much he loves me. There's nothing more valuable in all the world. So, Jesus says, do you love your life more than Jesus? Are you willing to let go of holding on to this life so tight and let Jesus hold you? Well, after this, it says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Now, if you see Jesus for who he is, like the Greek people who wanted to come see Jesus, if you really see him with the eyes of your heart, then you'll love him. And if you love him, then you'll want to serve him. And people have different ideas about how to serve him. Some people think that the only way to serve him is just to become a preacher and preach all the time. Well, that's not true. Some people think the way to serve him is just kind of take out the Bible every once in a while or go to church every once in a while. And you kind of take care of your eternal fire insurance and you just, throw Jesus a few crumbs and then you're okay. That's not it either. Jesus says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. There's a man named Paul Miller who explains this well in a book that he calls the J curve, right? A J is shaped like that, right? Now, the way people usually think is that if you want to have an important position, you have to climb up for it. If you want to have riches, you have to climb up for it. If you want to have comfort and happiness and joy, you have to climb up for it. And if necessary, step on some other people's heads. Jesus says that the way to have true fulfillment is to die to yourself and just trust in Jesus. Jesus says, let go of your own life. And he says in the next chapter in John 13, he says, I've come to wash your feet. Now that was the job of a slave. And he said, you do to each other what I've done to you. You be willing to serve others. Let go of your rights. Let go of your preferences. Let go of your plans. Let go of your dreams. Let go of having to do things your own way. Let go of always having to show that you think you're right. Let go of all that and be willing to go down and serve others. Be willing to go down and reach out to others. Be willing to go down and love others and care about them. Let go of your life and drop into the earth and die. That's what Jesus says in Mark 8, which we read. Jesus said, if any man wishes to be my disciple, let him deny himself and all the things he wants and take up his cross, which is like the electric chair, and follow me. Let him be willing to die to all those things that he craves, rest in the arms of Jesus and say, okay, Jesus, if this was your lifestyle to serve others and die for them, That's what I want to do. There was a man named Jim Elliot, and Jim Elliot was a talented young man. He was an athlete. He was a wrestler at his college. He was a bright guy. You know, he studied, got good grades, and he was popular as well. You know, people liked this guy. He was friendly. He was funny. But Jim Elliot got it into his mind that there was a group of people down in South America. They were headhunters. They were murderers. They would hunt you down and kill you. And he got it in his mind that these people needed Jesus. And so he started writing about it in his journal. And he started asking God to bring him down there. And he struggled with it. You know, he was a young guy. He had his eyes on a particular girl. He wanted to get married. You know, he didn't have a desire to just, you know, to just kind of drop out of life early, but he realized that if he went to share the gospel with these people, he knew what could happen. And so he struggled. Can I really deal with having a short life? And then he realized, you know what? Jesus had a short life. And he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And he went down there to the country of Ecuador. And he and his four friends, they landed on a riverbank in a little yellow plane. And some people from this tribal group, they came out to inspect things. But it wasn't many days before the bodies of those five young men were found floating in the river, speared through. You might think, well, that was such a waste. He could have gone on and wrestled or been a preacher somewhere till he was 80 years older. You know, why waste his life? Well, listen to the rest of the story. Jim Elliot's widow came back along with some others, and they shared the gospel with these people. And many, many, many of them came to know Jesus. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. There was another man named Eric Little. He was a runner. He was a gold medalist in the Olympics, in the 400-meter dash. He's a bright guy, studied to be a doctor. He could have had a great career in medicine, could have, you know, prolonged his career as an athlete. He was a rugby player as well. He decided that he wanted to spend his life going off to China. And in China, war broke out. He was eventually put in prison. And in prison, he developed a brain tumor, couldn't be treated there, and he died. Is that a waste? If you live your life like Jesus did, is it a wasted life? See, when Jesus gets a hold of you, then just like Peter, or just like Paul, or just like Jim Elliot, or just like Eric Little, your life starts to look more like Jesus's. But like Paul Miller points out, you don't need to go to China, or to Ecuador, or to Greece for your life to look like Jesus. There's people around you, and you can wash their feet. Love is about looking at Jesus saying, Jesus, how could you love me that much? And then you think, Jesus, what can I do to say thank you? And Jesus says, well, look at these people around you. Love them like I loved you. You say, okay, well, that's a pretty clear job description. After this, it says, where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Jesus is saying that the way to life is through death. Jesus is saying, come with me on a journey. He says, for the rest of your life, we're going to be going through a valley together. This is the valley of the shadow of death. It's the valley where you give up your rights and your privileges and your preferences to love others because you love Jesus. This is the valley of the shadow. You can expect darkness down here. He says, let go of comfort. Let go of trying to find all your security in this world. Fall into my arms and just live as I live. Love as I loved. Give as I gave. Fall into the earth and die. And he says, at the end of the journey, you're going to be with me because it's a J curve. The way up is first down. It's always the cross always comes before the crown. And if you say, well, I'd rather skip that part. I'll just kind of hang on to my life. I kind of don't want to interrupt it. And, you know, I'll open my Bible sometimes and, I'll believe in Jesus, like he's a good guy and everything, but I don't know about like the dying part. Well, then you haven't really seen Jesus for who he is with the eyes of your heart. If you could just see him for how beautiful he is and how much he loves you, then something would happen in here. And all those tendencies that we have to protect ourselves and shield ourselves because we don't trust that God can do it, they'll all fall away. You'll fall into the arms of Jesus and you'll say, okay, Jesus, if I need to die, I'll be with you. And if I'm going to live for a little longer, then I want to live like you. How would God honor you? Jesus says, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. How did God honor Jesus? God wanted to honor Jesus. He wanted to lift him up to the highest place. But God, as much as he loved Jesus, and as much as he desired to honor his own son, he sent him first, where? To the cross. The fact that he loves you doesn't mean that your life will be free of pain. The fact that he loves you does not mean that he doesn't call you to give up your desires and wishes and rights for him and for others. The fact that he loves you means that you can expect that he's going to lead you along the same path as his son. And one of the greatest honors that you can have is for God to use your life to bring other people to Jesus. I read a story a long time ago about a woman whose name I don't remember. And the story was told about a group of Chinese militiamen. And these Chinese militiamen came up to a particular missionary and they wanted to know about his God. And it was kind of an odd situation, you know, weird situation. You know, these people were coming up to him. They're a bunch of armed men, and they want to know about this missionary. God, what in the world's going on? Evidently, these same men had attacked a mission compound or something like that. And there was a woman who had run out of the compound, and she had said, "Take me instead. Take me instead." She wanted to lay down her life to preserve the other people. And these armed men thought, what kind of God must she serve that would make her want to lay down her life like this? And they came to know Jesus Christ. This is how God honors those who serve him. It says a little later on in the book of John, if anyone believes in Christ, the works that Jesus did, that person will also do because Jesus is going to the Father. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that if you believe in Jesus, you'll go around raising people physically from the dead or healing the lame or giving sight to the blind? No. What it does mean is that because Jesus has gone to heaven and he sent down his Holy Spirit, who is Almighty God with the power to change people's hearts, God can use you and me. As weak as we are, not because we're special, but because he is, he can use us as signs, as pointers to himself. And if he gets inside of you by his Spirit and makes you a pointer to himself by the way you act and by what you say, then people will look at you, they'll listen to you, they'll look at Jesus, and if what Jesus says, look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. If people see Jesus on that cross for who he is, they will be saved. So this is the greatest honor for our lives to mirror the life of Jesus. Now, we're not staring into hell like Jesus. We can't redeem anybody's soul, but we have a Redeemer. And by our lives and lips, we can point the way to him. So let's go back to verse 24. Jesus says, most assuredly, truly, truly, you can highlight this, double underline it, put exclamation points at the end, circle it. This is absolutely certain. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain or it bears much fruit. This is absolutely certain. People didn't understand that in Jesus' day. They didn't get it. They thought that Jesus was going to usher in a political kingdom. That's what they expected. Even Jesus' disciples expected this. But Jesus said, no, the way to life is always through death. And we're tempted to think the same way, aren't we? The world around us tells us, hang on to your life with everything that you've got. Hang on to your life till your fingernails are white and bleeding. The world says, hang on to your position, hang on to your reputation, hang on to your wealth, hang on to your pleasures and your comforts. Hang on to it. Jesus says, he who loves his life will lose it. But he who does a trust fall into the arms of Jesus, he'll keep his life to eternal life. That's true. Jesus says, most assuredly, this is true. As you die to yourself and clinging to the things of this life, you will have life. Jesus doesn't lie. So you can let go and fall into his arms. Life always, always, always comes from death. Jesus said it most assuredly. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that you would cause your word to sink into our hearts and bear fruit. I pray that as we see Jesus with the eyes of our hearts lifted up from the earth, we would be drawn to him. In Jesus' name, amen.